tear him down. You have betrayed his trust, all for personal gain. Worst of all, you have failed.
Stop him!
Pliny screams now, wildly gesticulating at me.
Moira!
Moira whispers to the storm knight, and both step to the side.
You're supposed to be dead,
Pliny mutters.
Arja said she would kill you on Europa.
And who do you know that can kill me? I say, that ridiculous gold rage building in my voice so that it might impress all these hungry souls. The jackal failed, Antonia Aus Severus Julii failed, Proctors Apollo and Jupiter failed, Cassius Au Bellona failed, Carnus failed, Cagni failed, Asia Au Grimus and her Praetorians failed. The hangman failed, the mines and pit vipers failed.
And now you fail.
That's when I slip forward, faster than a striking pit viper, and slap him across the face. He pitches sideways out of his seat like a leaf battered by the wind, careening into a gold who stood to the side. She spits on him and moves for me. You are but a worm who thought himself a serpent just because you slither. But your power was not real, Pliny. It was all a dream. Time now to wake. Pliny scrambles to his feet, pushing himself away from me. His carefully combed hair is a mess, and redness swells on his right cheek. I spin him around and slap him again, harder. He's startled. Doesn't know what to do. He was not taken from his bed during his first day at the Institute and beaten by obsidians. He did not ride upon the snow-crusted beaches at the head of an armored column. He did not starve. So now all he can do is scramble and cry. I seize him with my hands, raise him high into the air. But I hurt him no more. I will not demean the moment with cruelty like Carnus or Titus would. My condescension is my weapon. I set Pliny back in the arch-governor's chair. I buff his dragonfly pin, straighten his hair like a kindly mother, pat him on his tear-stained cheek and extend my hand, which bears my House Mars ring. He kisses it without me asking. Goodbye, Pliny. I leave you to your friends. I walk away, the eyes of all these peerless following me, abandoning Pliny. I hear a slurping sound, and do not turn, because I know what razors sound like when they kill. They didn't even wait. Pliny is forgotten. These peerless thump their chests in salute to me. The monsters. They go with the wind, chasing power. But they don't realize power doesn't shift. Power is resolute. It is the mountain, not the wind. To shift so easily is to lose trust. And trust is what has kept me alive. Trust in my friends, and their trust in me. The Sovereign knows this. It is why she keeps her Furies close. They would die for her, as my friends would die for me. Because, in the end, what does all the power in all the worlds matter if your closest friends can betray you? The Sovereign's father learned that when his daughter took his head. Pliny learned at the price of his life. I forgot it, distanced myself from my friends, and nearly lost everything because of it when Tactus felt as overshadowed and alienated with me as he did with his brothers. It is why I started fresh with Victra, why I told Ragnar the truth, why I must make amends with Lorne and Roke. Trust is why Red will have a chance. We are a people bound by song and dance and families and kinship. These people are allies only because they think they must be. I look at them now, and I know they are so stern and so rigid that they will break and shatter against one another, not because of me, but because of what they are.
I float on my grav boots, pausing to say, "Tell all who will hear, the Reaper sails to Mars, and he calls for an iron rain."
Chapter 36. Lord of War.
"Power is the crown that eats the head," the Jackal said to me as we planned the invasion. He spoke in reference to Octavia, but the truth reaches further than that. These gulls have had power for so long. Look how they act. Look what they want. They jump at the chance for war. They come from near, from far, ships racing to join my armada as they learn that I have called for an iron rain, the first in 20 years. I used the Jackal to spread the news, along with footage of Pliny's fall. Many of them are second sons and daughters who will not inherit their parents' estates, warmongers, duelists, and glory-hungry, and each bring their attendants of greys and obsidians. The worlds of the society wait with bated breath to see what happens today. If we lose, the sovereign rules on. If we win, complete civil war. No world can stand apart. Legions marshal within my ship as my armada gathers around the dock moon of Phobos. I carry my razor, curved as a sling blade. Crooked and cruel, it is my scepter. My iron house Mars ring tightens as I flex my hand and stare through the viewports. The Pegasus bounces against my chest. I cannot see my enemy, Bellona and much of the Sovereign's local fleets, but they lie between me and my planet. The Sovereign's ancient Ash Lord comes fast from the core to aid with his scepter armada, but he is still a week away. He cannot help the Bellona today. My Blues watch me, and my generals, of Victra Au Julii's personal fleet, who abandoned her mother's forces, of House Arcos, of House Telemanos, and the bannermen of Augustus. Mars is green and blue and pocked with shielded cities. White caps mark her poles. Blue oceans stretch along her equator. Fields of grass, along with thick forests, coat her surface. Clouds swirl about her. A cotton shift to hide her sparkling shielded cities. And there are guns. Great stations in the deserts, around the cities, where ship-killing railguns point to the sky. My thoughts dip below the surface of the planet. I wonder what my mother is doing now. Is she making breakfast? Do they know what comes? Will they even feel it when we do? My fingers don't tremble even on the brink of battle. My breath is even. I was born to a family of hell divers. I was born to a bloodline of dust and toil, born to serve the gulls. I was born to this velocity. Yet, I am terrified. Mickey carved me to be a god of war, but why do I feel like such a boy standing in silly armor? Why do I want to be 5 years old again, before my father died, sharing the bed with Kieran, listening to him talk in his sleep? I turn to the sea of gold faces. This race. What a beautiful monster. They carry all of humanity's strengths except one. Empathy. They can change. I know that. Perhaps not now. Perhaps not in 4 generations. But it begins today. The end of their golden age. Shatter the Bellona, weaken gold. Drive the civil war to Luna itself and destroy the Sovereign. Then Ares will rise. I don't want to be here. I want to be home, with her, with my child who never was. But can't be. I feel the tide inside me go out, bearing old wounds. This is for you, I tell her. For the world you should have lived in. And so I return to my part, feeding these wolves. In the fading days of autumn, I say, voice loud and bold, the Reds who mine the bedrock of Mars wear masks of happy ghouls to celebrate the dead claimed by the red soil, to honor their memories and subdue their spirits. We, Oriot, took those masks and made them our own. We gave them the faces of legend and myth to remind ourselves that there is no evil, no good, no gods, no demons. There is only man. There is only this world. Death comes for us all. But how will we shout into the wind? How will we be remembered? I pull off one of my gloves and cut my palm very shallowly. I clench my fist till the blood coats my skin and then press my hand to my face. Make your blood proud long after death claims you. There's the stump of feet, just one. Luna is the new earth. It rules us and makes us bow and scrape. Our sacrifice means its gain. Again, the weak hold back the strong. After today, when we take the thousand cities of Mars, our ranks will swell. The Galilean lords will swear for us. The governors of Saturn will bow to us. Neptune will come with her ships, and we will cut off the leech that is Octavia Auloon. And make a tyrant king. It makes so much sense to them. I don't know how. A tyrant for a tyrant? How do they find inspiration from this? Men always have. Another stomp. Every moment today will be captured by the holocams we've given you. Like it was at the Institute, and when I took the Pax. The Jackal's idea. Each moment will be remembered. If you win glory, it will be spread among the HCs of every world. If you shame yourself or your family, it will not fade with your death. I look to Ragnar, as though he were my headsman. Lorne rolls his eyes at the dramatic flare. We will remember. Stomp. The cities are to be taken. The golds who will not bend, killed. The low colors protected. We will not collapse the mines. We will not rape her cities and despoil her verdant grounds. We are to capture the bounty of Mars. We do not want to take her corpse. She is home to many of you, so harm only the pest that destroys her from within. And when the glory of the day is over, when you wipe the blood from your sword and give the cloth to your sons and daughters, so they will remember you were party to one of the greatest battles since the fall of Earth, remember, you have made your own destiny. It was not given to you by the sovereign. It was not given to you by a governor. You took it, like our ancestors took the worlds. We are the second conquerors. Now there's the roar. I hate how my body shivers at the idea of glory. There's something deep in man that hungers for this. But I think it weakness, not strength, to abandon decency for that strange, darker spirit. I look at the Jackal to the side of the bridge. He has little importance on this day. He has done his work bringing all these men and women here. He has muddled communications and sown false information, leading much of the Sovereign's aid to the Bellona, scattered, chasing false rumors of elements of my fleet sneaking off to attack Luna. A ploy, only. My forces are all here. Quite the puppet master you play, the Jackal whispers to me as we wait for the whites to enter the bridge behind the waiting golds. Severo scoots closer to me, as if to remind the Jackal of his place. You made most of the strings. I never thanked you. I say quietly back to him. His plain face wrinkles with distaste.
Must we become sentimental?
You helped Mustang escape. That's why Pliny caught you. He never mentioned it. Never boasted or used it as leverage. It was the simple act of a brother helping a sister. I shrug. And you tried your damnedest to save Quinn. Maybe you're a better man than you know. He laughs, that barking laugh of his. Doubtful. But tomorrow a traitor will be king, and an empress shall be a traitor. So maybe wicked men can be virtuous.
I look out of the viewport.
Are your satellites ready? For the virus? He nods. My greens will shut down all communications as soon as you give the word. For 15 minutes it will be quiet as death for everyone. Their global and regional defense units won't have surveillance or sensors. Time enough to shatter most of the static positions. He looks at his feet, as though suddenly self-conscious.
Save my father, if you can.
Severo shifts, annoyed at our whispering. I will. I'd rather Augustus rot forever in a hole in the ground, but I need him once Mars is taken. Despite what I can do, I'm not a governor or a king. I need his legitimacy, as Theodora reminded me last night. Without it, I'm just an arm with a razor.
And you're sure about Aegea? He asks. About the prize? Otherwise it's reckless.
100%, I reply.
Good. Good. Prime luck then, Reaper.
He moves away.
Replacing me already?
Severo snorts, watching him go. He's got one hand, you've got one eye. I have a type. The ceremonies continue. 200 golds bend their knees as the whites walk through their ranks. I try to think it a stupid, solemn thing. All these men and women, with their pompous silence and their attention to tradition. But this is the history of mankind in the making. And there is a nobility to the moment. Armor glints against the artificial light. Ethereal whites wander through the ranks, virgin maidens, barefoot in snow-white cloaks, with daggers of iron and laurels of gold. Child whites carry the triangular golden standards, a scepter, a sword, and a scroll crowned with a laurel. I feel hands on my shoulders. I feel their weight. They say this is the way the old conquerors went to battle, with virgins of white wounding them with iron. They touch our brows with the laurel, and cut our left palms with the iron as they whisper softly in our ears,
"My son, my daughter, now that you bleed, you shall know no fear, no defeat, only victory. Your cowardice seeps from you, your rage burns bright. Rise, warrior of gold, and take with you your colour's might."
Then each warrior smears the handprint of blood across his face and across the top of his demon-faced helm. One by one we stand in silence. Each gold represents 10 legions. This is the storm that will fall on Mars in a torrent of metal. Millions of golds, greys, and obsidians.
"We do not fight a planet. We fight men and women. Cut off their heads and see their armies crumble,"
Lorne reminds us all. The assembly of warriors stands, faces now smeared with blood, and together we recite the names of our chief enemies.
Carnus al Bologna, Aja al Grimus, Imperator Tiberius al Bologna, Scipia al Falth, Octavia al Lune, Agrippina al Julii, and Cassius Albellona. These are wanted lives.
In the halls of my enemy, they will recite my name and the names of my friends. He who kills the reaper will have bounty and renown. Individual hunters and kill groups will scan our comm signals, searching for me. And in packs they will descend, some for single battle. Others for the sly kill of a sniper's bullet. Some will not even participate in the battle for Mars. They are grey mercenaries, freed obsidian bounty hunters, knights of Venus and Mercury, here only for my head, using their family assets, family soldiers, to help them privately stalk me and make their own glory. The Jackal intercepted a communique that three of the Olympic knights are here. They all will have watched me, studied my recordings, my victories, my defeats. And they will know my nature, the nature of my howlers. But I will not know them. Let them come make their introductions. I'm more interested in meeting Cassius. At least, that's what I told Lorne. But he knows that's not true. A deep shame burns in me for how I yelled like a monster at his family. I beat him fairly, but I didn't have to like it as much as I did. Sometimes I wonder if he were raised a red and I a gold, if he wouldn't have ended up a better man than I am now, and I a worse man than he ever could be. For some reason I think I could have been capable of great evil. Maybe that's the guilt. Maybe that's the fear of a life where I never knew Io. I don't know. Or maybe it's the fear of knowing how easily I fall to pride. My warriors disperse back to their own family vessels. I watch out the viewport as 50 shuttles streak away to the great armada we've assembled. Though they know we're here now, our enemies did not expect us to come to Mars so quickly. I turn my attention to my remaining commanders. Orion will lead the Pax, and Roke will lead the fleet in conjunction with Victra. I approve of their plan. The rest of my inner circle lingers, except for Mustang, who goes ahead to the hangars. I reach up slightly to thump both the Telemanuses on their shoulders.
Pax would have looked brilliant this day.
Sophocles curls around Kavax's ankles.
My brother always looked brilliant,
Daxo says warmly.
Silly shouting, trying to be like my father, but brilliant nonetheless. We'll kill Tiberius Albellona, don't you worry. Do I look worried?
Both titans nod their giant heads. Kavax has gone into his battle quiet. He cannot speak except to mumble, so Daxo continues to speak for him.
Take care of yourself, Reba.
He shares a look back at the Jackal. We know it's a marriage of necessity, but don't trust him.
You know I don't. Do not trust him,
Daxo repeats.
I trust only friends.
We say our goodbyes. Orion's brow is wrinkled in thought. I ask her if anything is the matter as she leans over the scanner display. She's assessing the enemy position in the sink. They noticed us come into orbit an hour ago. We were vulnerable while filtering in, but they remained in defensive formation over Aegea.
It is odd, Roke agrees.
They seed much of the planet without a fight. Perhaps it'd be better to orient your drop to the south.
I want Aegea,
I say coldly.
We'll be shooting you into the thick, brother. The capital can wait. Seize the other cities, and we can take it without assault. Why such a wild rush?
If we take the capital, the other cities fall.
And many men die.
It is war, Roke. Trust me on this one.
It's your war.
Roke salutes.
After catching a glare from Victor, he pulls me close.
Fare thee well, Primus.
He kisses both my cheeks, surprising me.
It's been a long road, I say carefully.
And we've miles to go before we sleep.
My brother.
I clasp the back of his neck and bring his forehead to mine.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
I shake my head.
For Quinn, for Leah, for the gala,
for a thousand slights I've laid upon you.
You've been my dearest friend.
Pulling back, I avoid his eyes. I should have said it earlier, but I was afraid.
In what world should you be afraid of me?
He asks.
I shake my head.
Forgive me. For everything. We'll make amends later.
He claps my shoulder.
Primelock.
I leave him. Lorne and I draw up just outside the bridge, where our paths diverge into different halls. He's shaved for war, and he wears his old Rage Knight armor. He looks brilliant, but smells terrible. These old knights are like the Howlers, superstitious and unwilling to wash their gear for fear of washing away whatever luck kept them alive thus far.
I've received communiques from many old friends, Lorne says. They side with Bellona.
All old men and women?
The old have weathered many seasons of the young.
There's a twinkle in his eye.
But they ask me about you. They ask if the boy warlord is really 4 meters tall. Is he really followed by a wolf pack? Is he a world breaker?
And what do you say?
I said you are 5 meters tall. You're followed by a midget and a giant, and you eat glass with your eggs.
We share a laugh.
I don't like that you brought me here. I don't believe you're being the man you want to be. If you survive this, and I don't, be better than the man who tricked his friend.
A dull ache grows behind my eyes. It's a plea he makes. Not for me to feel guilty, but because he truly cares.
I should be better. I want to be. I am being better in the end. But with the means to reach that end, am I just like all the other lost souls? Am I just another Harmony? Another Titus?
I promise, I say, meaning it even as I intend to hurt him again and again. Good. Good.
He pops his leathery neck.
So, after Aegea, you take the northern hemisphere, I'll take the southern, and we meet back here for whiskey. Deal, my good man?
I nod. But he still does not separate. He stares at me for a moment, and glances down, unable to meet my gaze.
Emotion thickens his voice. Each time I return to my wife, I told her that her boys died well.
He fidgets with his ring.
There's no such thing. Achilles died well. No. Achilles let his pride and rage consume him, and in the end, an arrow shot by a pixie took him in the foot. There's much to live for besides this. Hopefully you'll grow old enough to realize that Achilles was a gory damn fool, and are all fools all the more for not realizing he wasn't Homer's hero. He was a warning. I feel like men once knew that.
His fingers tap his razor.
It's a cycle. Death begets death begets death. It's been my life. I don't think I should have killed the boy. Your friend.
Why do you say that?
Because I see the way the rest of them look at you.
I think they'd do anything for you because you believe in them.
I move suddenly, leaning down to kiss him on his weathered cheek, the way Reds kiss fathers and uncles.
Tactus wouldn't have blamed you. And neither do I. You've another grandson to raise. Maybe you can teach him the peace you couldn't teach me. So do us a favor. Don't die, old man.
Ha! The grizzled lord laughs, falsely at first, then more forcefully as he turns on a heel.
Ha! They've yet to make a man who can kill old Stonesides.
His old knights, craggy men and women, flank him. Not one younger than 70, but I recognize all their faces from the histories of the Moon Rebellion and other great wars. Their friends and former comrades wait for us on Mars.
I leave for the hangars, saying a quick farewell to Victra. She calls me back. I feel Roke watching us. She looks about to say something. The red sun of her black armor weeps blood. Black war paint streaks diagonally across her face. Eyes burning out of it, yet they are vulnerable. Gentle as they search mine for a reflection of what she feels.
After today, the name Julii will mean more than money, I say.
Her plan will turn the tide of the space battle.
I don't care about that.
Her fingers touch my breastplate, and I see her lips sliding sharply into that wicked smile of hers.
If you die, I want your last thought to be how great a mistake it was to spend all those nights alone in your stateroom at the Academy.
She flicks my armor, making a pinging noise.
What a beautiful mess we could have made of each other.
Theodora waits for me in the hall, giving me a look.
Oh, shut up.
She would have eaten you up and spit you out, Dominus.
Why aren't you in the staterooms where it's safe?
It's not safe anywhere.
Theodora motions me to bend my head.
She puts a small red flower clip, the sort a young girl would wear, into my hair.
All knights need their tokens, she says, tearing up. Don't be too much a hero. You're too clever to die in a stupid battle.
She leaves, squeezing Ragnar's forearm as she passes. I didn't know they were familiar.
Ragnar follows along, hanging back like a hesitant shadow as Severo and I speak on the way to the hangars.
So it is done, I ask Severo.
He shrugs.
I sent it.
You spoke to him.
A holonet dropcache, he says. I send a message. They get it.
Hopefully.
You mean you don't know if they got it?
How should I know? I said I sent it, followed protocol.
I curse quietly. He whistles that damn tune he sang Pliny. I swat at him.
We turn a corner and pass 6 dozen grey special ops troopers heading for the tubes at a jog. 6 obsidians follow behind them, opening their palms to Ragnar and me as signs of respect.
You see what they're wearing? Sling blades on their armor.
Severo smirks over at me.
It spreads.
Have you thought about what happens if your father is down there? I ask.
No, he says, losing a smile.
No, I haven't.
Chapter 37 War. The forward hangar bay is massive. A giant cave in the belly of my ship, crawling with men and women of all colors, 600 meters in length. Along its left side are hundreds of spit tubes. Each row is accessed by a network of giant causeways where men in star shells can walk. Thousands stand ready to disperse, grouped according to legion. The alarm for battle stations warbles throughout the ship. Orion's voice rasps over the intercom. Beyond the hull, Roke, now the youngest Imperator in 100 years, will be breaking Armada into fleets to engage the Bellona over Mars. Squadrons of Ripwings and Wasps pour forth, blues flying to their deaths, gold squad leaders in their midst, all to carve a hole large enough for the leechcraft to swarm onto the enemy hulls. Some Praetors hoard their soldiers to fight off enemy waves that make it aboard their ships. Others launch full attacks. It's a gamble either way. Can't think of it. Victra, Roke, and Orion have that responsibility. I have my own. I pause, looking out at the hangar. What if Ares isn't real? I ask Severo quietly. What the hell are you talking about? Severo asks. What if it's just a gold trick? Someone pulling strings to make society go the way they need it to go? What if it's all a lie? Severo looks at me for a long moment. Then he hops up on a banister and howls at the top of his lungs down at the hangar bay. The bay howls back. It comes from greys. It comes from obsidians, from oranges. It comes from reds working on tubes. And it comes from the golds who requested transfer to my ship. That's no lie. And that's when I see the standards of the legions fall, replaced with something new. Gone are the pyramids of the society. Gone are the laurel and the scepter and the sword and the scroll. Gone is Augustus's lion. Instead, the high golden standards that the legions carry to battle are peaked with wolves and sling blades. These legions are mine. I feel something buzzing in those around me, a sort of physical fanaticism. It did not buzz in the Gauls quite like this. The Gauls love me because of the victory and glory I bring. These other colours love me for something far different, something far more potent. Any other conquering Gauls would have vented the ship, but I did not, because they chose me instead of the Gauls who once were their masters. I gave them that choice. Severo grips my arm. Do you understand that you must fight differently today? I get it, Severo. I try to shake off his hand. You don't. He pulls me to look at him and shoos Ragnar back. Every move you make today will be recorded and broadcast to every part of the solar system. This battle is to make the fleet yours. His voice drops to a harsh whisper. The Suns will spread it. Jackal will spread it. House Augustus will spread it. Act like a god. Get followed like a god. Register? Win or lose, this is still Augustus's fleet, I say. Not if he's dead. I assigned Severo to infiltrate the citadel in Nagia, where the Archgovernor is being held captive. But I did not tell him to kill Augustus. You're not going to kill him, I say with authority. I forbid it. It is necessary. You don't need his legitimacy. Haven't you figured us out yet? Here you get what you take, no matter the right of it. He spits on the ground. You are 20 years old. If you win Mars, Darrow, you become a living god. So when you reveal what you really are, you transcend color. Do I register? Severo has grown wiser since we first met. No doubt about that. But I fear he thinks too much of me. Apollo thought he was a god. Augustus thinks he is. A god is not what I should be. A god is something to serve, something to worship. I've never wanted that. Io never wanted that. Severo will have to learn. This is about freedom. Yet it seems like everyone just wants to follow. Mustang oversees the troop operations today. She floats through the air with Milia, the horse-faced gold we adopted at the Institute. Nearer me saunters an ambling, pitiless gold with a familiar face. I laugh and point him out to Severo, who curses poignantly.
Proctor Jupiter, I call to the man. Darling, could that really be you?
Who else would it be, you uppity brat?
Jupiter comes before me. He's tall, careless in the eyes, hair bound tight, half a foot taller than I. He's a sinful, hedonistic beast of a man, with an arrogant streak a kilometre long, and it's clear that he and Ragnar are two misunderstandings away from opening each other up. He eyes the razor wrapped around my forearm, and I see his is worn in the same new fashion.
I heard you're the one responsible for the new style.
He holds up his arm.
I do approve. Bold as a naked pick in an ant nest.
Limping still? Severo asks.
Shut up, goblin.
Jupiter sneers.
Taddy Dearest had a little duel with Proctor Jupiter here to win the Rage Knight post.
Severo smiles.
Old man sliced him up the same place I did. Right in the ass.
That slippery slag Fitchner is... tricky.
Jupiter nods grudgingly.
Very, very tricky. I have been helping the lady.
Jupiter rumbles on, gesturing to Mustang.
How so? I ask. Most of the Augustus cities are on communication interdict. Can't get a word out or in. I'm the emissary to those still loyal. Sneak in, sneak out. Been doing it for weeks now and sending word to remote drop caches and the other loyal cities. A whole war's been going on here with her agents and her brothers while you were out stitching together a fleet. It's been nasty, my goodman.
So what can you tell me? I ask.
Well, Daddy Bellona commands the house fleet against your friends. Cassius and Carnus have been allocated to ground operations inside Aegea. I am going to help you find them and kill them.
Jupiter raises his large eyebrows, as though telling us how tedious he finds the chore.
That is the point. Kill the Bellona family members, and all their allies will suddenly wonder why they're fighting, isn't it?
He winks at Severo.
Next best thing to pounding that loon-born sovereign's head in.
You sure all Bellona are in Aegea? Jupiter nods grudgingly.
Last we saw. That was a couple days ago, though, after they brought Augustus down in chains.
He airily holds up a finger.
And there was a peculiar series of heavy shuttles that landed last night.
I wave a hand, ignoring mention of the shuttles. He squints at me, but I tell him to shut up and get behind me as I meet Mustang and her entourage.
Everything is prepared, she says. We're awaiting launch orders.
She wrinkles her nose as if smelling something foul.
Severo, do watch Jupiter. He tends to shit where he eats.
Jupiter yawns.
Pleasure working with you, too.
Melia, lovely to see you washed, I say.
Reaper?
She nods and smiles, an ugly thing on her face.
Still playing with scythes?
Warms the heart.
You've a heart?
Severo chuckles.
She examines his height. A full-sized one.
She pauses.
I saw Pollux just yesterday on the other side, however. Been sneaking in and out with Jupiter here. You've arranged us all a little reunion. I heard about Tactus. He was a bastard.
True enough. I glance at my data pad. We'll be at the launch coordinates in 5. My team disperses. Mustang lingers, face thoughtful.
What's what? I ask.
Worrying about me already?
A little, she confides, coming close enough for me to smell the scent of her.
But it's my father. What if they kill him before we even make landfall?
They won't kill him.
They'll need him as a bargaining chip. Or if they've lost, they'll spare him and hope we do the same for all the Bellona family members. You don't kill men as important as him.
I reach for her hand to comfort her, but she pulls it away, turning from me. "We have a planet to invade."
I watch her go, shouting orders to her men. Chapter 38. The Iron Rain. All I see is metal. I'm one of a thousand in the honeycomb of spit tubes. Beyond the metal tube, a battle rages. I feel nothing. Not the shudder of the packs, not the missiles as they range through space to bring silent death. Just the throbbing of my heart. Mickey told me it was the strongest he'd seen in a red, courtesy of the pit viper poison that traced my veins when I was young. It makes my hands shake now, as it gallops in my chest. Fear rides in me. Fear of so many things. Fear of letting down my friends, of losing my friends, of telling my friends the truth about what I am. Fear of being unequal to the task before me. Fear caused by doubt, in myself, in my plans for the rebellion. Fear of death. Fear of being lost in the darkness of space beyond the hull. Fear of failing EO, my people, myself. But chiefly, fear of hot metal. Chatter comes over the comms, perfunctory. The plan is in motion, and I'm nothing but a cog now. The battle is too large for me to take part in all of it. I wanted to lead the Pax from her bridge so I could watch the enemy ships fall to my fleet. But Orion and Roke are better than I am in space. I wanted to be in the leechcraft, carrying the boarding parties through the breach into enemy hulls. I wanted to storm bridges, repel invaders from my own ship, bounce from destroyer to dreadnought, making them mine. But I will not capture Imperator Bellona. The Titans will do that. In the end, my enemies dictate where I go. I chase the grand prize. A prize that has been my target since after I left Luna. My true Pegasus pendant is cool against my chest. Io's hair lies within. Focus on that. On the way her hair moved, drifting on deep mine winds. Focus there. Thinking of her, I am beset with guilt. I like this life. No matter my reluctance to play the gold, no matter the sorrowful excuses I make, part of me is like them. Perhaps I was born to be of two colors. Slag that. Man wasn't born to be any color. Our rulers decided to relegate us to colors. And they were wrong.
Ordentes fortuna juvat, darlings, Severo says over a private comm line.
I burst out, laughing at the Latin.
More fortune favors the bold, crap. Why not just say carpe diem?
Because it's tradition to say... Do you boys always flirt like this before battle? It is adorable,
Victor adds.
You should have seen them at the Institute. Love at first howl, Mustang laughs. I saw the clips. What a lovely couple.
I hear the smile in Mustang's voice.
They even wore matching garments. Stylish, weren't they, Roke? And smelly.
I certainly took no notice.
Why not?
Severo scared the piss out of me. I wasn't looking at what he was wearing, Roke replies, drawing laughs.
I thought he'd been bitten by a squirrel and contracted rabies somehow.
Roke? Severo calls sweetly.
Severo? Hello?
Hello?
Next time I see you, I'm going to bite you.
I must go. Roke's light laughter fades. We're engaging the main enemy element.
What are you going to do? Bore them to death with a light poetry reading?
Severo again.
You're a pricklick, Roke declares playfully. May the Furies guide your swords, and the Fates bring you home. Till then,
My love is with you all.
The profession of love startles the gulls.
Rogue's comm clicks off, and we can hear him on the main frequency, giving orders to attack an enemy destroyer.
What a pixie,
Severo mutters, but even a child could catch the tremor in his voice. He's afraid.
Hic sunt leones, I say to my friends. Be brave. Be brave and I'll see you on the other side. Hic sunt leones,
they echo. Not for Augustus, but because we wish we were brave as lions. One by one we say our goodbyes. Before I can stop myself, I hail Mustang's private frequency. It takes her 20 seconds to answer.
What is it?
Hesitation haunts her voice. Stay alive, I say. A pause. Emotion. Annoyance.
You too.
She closes the comlink. Soon the gears begin to whir and click as I'm loaded into the firing mechanism of the tube. I've acted this whole time like I know what's coming, like I know what the Iron Rain is, but it looms before me like some dark, slavering beast, a mystery, though I've seen its face. I've seen the virtual reality experientials and HC clips. I know what it is the way a child knows flying from watching a bird.
Deployment coordinates reached.
Rogue's voice fills the ears of every gold in the fleet.
Let fall the rain.
The whine of the magnetic charge in the tube fills me. I slide forward into the chamber, bracing myself, looking down so I don't snap my neck. Then it fires, and I am claimed by velocity and battle as my stomach fills my throat with bile. I rip through the magnetic stream, out of the ship's tube, into swarming chaos. Fire and lightning rule space. Behemoths of metal belch missiles back and forth, silently pounding one another with all the weapons of man. The silence of it, so eerie, so strange. Great veils of flak explode around the ships, cloaking them in fury, almost like raw cotton tossed into the wind. Rip wings and wasps buzz at one another, pissing streams of gunfire. They nip and slice at carapaces of metal, fighting in a dense giant cloud. In little packs, they slip from their chaotic fights, spiraling silently toward clusters of leechcraft, as the destroyers and carriers launch their troop transports across space in undulating waves. It's a game of boarding parties, over, under, and through the curtains of flak the leeches go, seeking a hull to clamber onto so they can pump their deadly cargo into the belly of crucial ships, like flies dropping larvae into open wounds. All flown by blues, raised to do only this one thing.
Bellona craft passed those of Augustus, waves overlapping, breaking on one another. All in silence. Missiles leap toward the leeches, racking hulls with detonations. No flames, save where ships are punctured. Leaking oxygen flames like harpooned whales of old Earth would gout blood. Railgun discharges streak through space, tearing through multiple leeches and smaller fighters at the same time, rending holes in the ranks. Ships rupture forth men and women as both sides target engines, hoping to cripple and capture instead of destroy. Amid the blue and silver enemy fleet, the massive War Child shatters corvettes and torch ships like a cyclops wading through sheep, clubs swinging pendulous and slow. I hold my breath as Victra's destroyer, shielded by two others, slips towards the War Child. She is strafed by railguns, and men of war garland her with missile fire. The Bellona must warrant she's too close to capture because they open another salvo into her softened belly.
Yet amid the fire she suffers, the corvette births out a desperate burst of 40 leechcraft, nearly 10 times her normal complement. We carved her hollow to fit in the additional troop carriers. That is the war party of the Telemannosus. Victra's ship cuts away from the war child, recklessly plunging into the Bellona formation, where her mother's flotilla of ships bearing the bleeding sun support the Bellona eagles. Victra springs, her second surprise. Her mother switches sides, betraying the Bellona as Victra promised the Jackal and me. Her mother's ships unload more than 200 leeches amid the core of the Bellona fleet. It is chaos. My Titans land on the hull of the enemy flagship, and soon the war child is festooned with leeches. Good luck, Titans. Bellona-friendly leechcraft redirect toward the war child to lend aid to the battle that'll clutter her halls with smoke and blood. Ripwings zip past, shooting the landed leeches, trying to skin them off before they dump their men into the war child's body. It is an elegant dance of action and reaction and reaction and reaction. I carry on my trajectory, unable to alter it. To my left and right streak thousands of golds and obsidians in armored star shells, greys and hive pods of 12 each, a rain of men and metal. Amid our current fly large storks, packed with more obsidians and greys. Once we make landfall and secure the beachheads, the massed legions will slip out of the dreadnoughts and carriers on landing craft and pour out behind us. Despite what the Bellona and their allies think, they cannot stop us from landing men. The orbit around the planet is too large. That is why holding the cities is of such importance. They are island fortresses. The only realistic way of seizing them is making landfall and slipping under the 200-meter gap between their disc-shaped shields and the ground. That requires men on the surface, millions of men in coordinated assault. We will establish 100 beachheads, and then our battle will begin in earnest. In the chaos, missiles streak from our starshells. Friendly capital ships deploy screens of flak behind us, and wasps cover our flanks. Enemy wasps manage to swoop in from the sides, strafing us. Dozens in the rain die around me, their armor folding back like burning paper. I hate this. I want to scream. Some do, and we have to cut off their comms. There is nothing I can do. Pray I don't die. Pray my friends don't die. But pray to what? The Golds have no god. We Reds have an old man in the Vale, but he does not help us in this life. He merely waits to shepherd and guard us in the next. My heart rattles in my chest, hyperventilating, tearing out of my own skin. I feel like a boy. I want the comfort of home. Mother's soup, the touch of her stern hand, the love that blossomed in me whenever I managed to make her smile. Anything to feel the joy of realizing Io loved me. I long for the cold, quiet nights before love, when it was only lust and hunger, where we would kiss in secret, hearts fluttering, like two little birds realizing they might build a nest together after all. That was what life was supposed to be. Family. First loves. Not falling through atmosphere where killers care for nothing more than to fill your body with hot metal before moving on to kill your friends. My mind flees, even as my body acts. The planet grows and grows, till it is a swollen colossus that consumes my vision. I do not know who is dead, who is alive. My display is too busy. We hit the atmosphere, and sound roars back. Halos of color cocoon my trembling form. To my left and right, the falling soldiers look like raging lightning bugs, jerked out of some carver's fantasy. I admire one to my left. The bronze sun is behind him, and he falls, silhouetting him, immortalizing him in that singular moment, one I know I shall never forget.